We are now on the third of six consecutive Sundays on which the second lesson is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. Last week we saw that there are two primary themes to be found in the letter to the Hebrews. The first is that the Son of Mary is also God the Son, the eternal and omnipotent Word by whom all things were made, who in the fullness of time took flesh of his mother and was made man. The second theme is an explanation of the unique priesthood of the Lord Jesus in the new and everlasting covenant by reference to the priesthoods of Melchizedek and Aaron in the old covenant. In the subsequent 3 weeks, we'll see more fully the teaching of Hebrews on the priesthood of the Lord Jesus. This morning, however, the brief reading that we've just heard is a direct continuation of last week. Remember that last week we heard these words, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Before him, the word of God. Before him, no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." If we understand what's being revealed in that text, one possible response from us would be mortal terror. Everything about us, every thought we've ever had, everything we've ever done in secret, every shameful thing that ever flitted through our imagination, all of it is known to him. But this morning's text, beginning in the very next verse, explains why there is no need for terror. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's why, despite the fact that the omnipotent Word, the eternal and incarnate Word, knows everything about us, there is no need for us to be afraid. Because we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. He is a man like us in all things but sin. In the gospel this morning, we see James and John asking what they do not understand. They apparently, egged on by their mother, want to be prime minister and chancellor of the exchequer in the kingdom of God. But to get there, they must drink the cup of Christ, which is, from the Old Testament, the cup of judgment and wrath. It is only the Lord Jesus who, by his voluntary acceptance of the cross, by his suffering and death, and by his glorious resurrection, it is only the Lord Jesus who can change that cup of judgment into the cup of mercy. Since we have a great high priest, it is the office of priests to offer sacrifice. And the priests of the temple, the descendants of Aaron, offered the sacrifice of bulls and goats for the expiation of sin. The Lord Jesus offers his own blood. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, that is, one who came down from heaven and has returned to his Father's glory, let us hold fast our confession, that is, our profession of faith, our assurance that what we believe is found not in our own experience or intellect or wisdom or learning, but in the truth of God's holy word, who is Jesus of Nazareth. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. And this theme will be sounded again and again in the next 3 weeks. But one tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Yes, he is God, but he is also true man. And because he's a man like us in all things but sin, he understands what it is to be tempted. And then these beautiful words, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Make no mistake, the Lord Jesus is King of all creation. There is a throne, but it is not a throne of power and dominion, lording it over the little ones. It is a throne of mercy and grace. And so we are exhorted to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy. How? Well, first with our prayers, a search of the heart. Whenever we're ashamed, afraid, angry, tempted in any way to that which is unholy, it's precisely in that moment that we must lift up our hearts and minds to the throne of grace. With words if necessary, but just the surge of the heart is enough. Lord, save me. Lord, I love you. Teach me to love you. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In the first moment of temptation, turn to him with confident assurance. Our goal was expressed in the opening prayer of this morning's Mass, that we may always conform our will to his and worship him with sincerity of heart. How else do we draw near to the throne of grace? In the sacraments. Recall that there are four sacraments for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is the first. It is through baptism as through a door that we enter the church with all our sins forgiven. We are changed in baptism from children of wrath into children of God by the grace of adoption. But baptism is not an end in itself. It's a preparation for what comes next. And so the two sacraments of healing are given to us, which include the forgiveness of sins. That is, the sacrament of anointing of the sick and the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. After baptism, the only ordinary way for mortal sin to be forgiven is in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. We draw near to the throne of grace, seeking mercy and grace for time of need by going to confession, or when needed, by being anointed. But above all, the fourth sacrament of mercy is the greatest. It is the Eucharist itself. Every time we participate worthily in Mass, it is for the forgiveness of our sins. All venial sins are washed away by the blood of cross, by the blood of Christ, when we participate in the Eucharist. That's why every Mass begins with the penitential rite. In all of these sacraments, we encounter the mercy of the throne of grace. Prayer and the sacraments, though, lead to service. We draw near to the throne of grace when we assist those who are in need. On the outside, it may seem, we are doing a work of charity. In fact, however, it is grace that precedes and follows and makes possible anything we do in a Christ-like way for others. This is why when we go out of our way to draw back one who has fallen into sin, a great act of charity, our own sins are also forgiven. In prayer, in service, and in the sacraments, we fulfill this precept to, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. This December, on the great solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, The great jubilee of mercy will begin to mark the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council. During the months of the jubilee, we will be asked by the Pope to meditate deeply on the ways in which the mercy of God is given to us and to others, and how we can each be missionaries of mercy. But it begins here, in the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, which is given to us for the salvation of our souls in all these and many other ways. And that is why we should with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.